are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men. It's always good to hear Patrick McCabe's voice on that intro. Good friend of mine and a longtime, obviously, supporter here at Holy Spirit Radio, one time general manager here. So looking forward to, thank you, sorry, Dale, I didn't have the microphone in front of me. I'm talking out loud like I got like speakers all around me. So here we are, in the month of July, in the summertime, and we are back live. Here we are again. We're going to be talking today about the Spiritual Gifts Inventory. We're going to talk about the Called and Gifted program that comes out of the St. Catherine of Siena Institute in Colorado Springs. And the Kingsmen have been using this program for the last like 3 or 4 years. And I'd like to share it with you and share some insight into what are our charisms and how do we discern them and what are their purpose? What is their purpose for us? And why does God give us these gifts? Because they are gifts. And we're going to dive deeply into that a little bit. We'll probably scratch the surface of it, and then you can give you more information on how you can go a little bit more deeper with it. But we'll talk a little bit about generically today. But before we do that, let's begin with St. Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. And we just call upon St. Augustine's intercession and certainly St. Joseph's intercession as this is a man's program, right? Catholic man show, if you will. And we're talking about things related to masculinity and our spirituality as men. But today's going to be a bit of a departure. It's going to be dealing with discerning our gifts. And so it applies to all of us. And as we just learned from the Masculine Genius Institute, that you know we have a collaborative complementarity with our sisters in Christ, and so we must see ourselves and what we're called to as men, fathers, husbands, in light of that complementarity, and always, you know, not excluding that. So we need to, at the Kingsmen Radio program here, always be keeping that in mind. And so even though we talk about things related to men, and we talk about our issues and our programs at the King's Men for Men, it always has to have that buffer, all right, that masculine genius with the feminine genius, you know, both and, never either or. So although we'll focus many times just on the men, we need to always remember that that is true for us, that men are called to be leaders, protectors, and providers, but women are called to complement, and as John F. Bankovic would say, that's through trust, surrender, receptivity. And so, you know, those gifts always need to be in place there and always present in the forefront of our mind. So we've begun this show with prayer. We'll talk a little bit about upcoming programs for the Kingsmen. But today, like I said, after the break, we're going to dive into the Called and Gifted program, which comes out of the St. Catherine of Siena Institute, as I said. Sherry Waddell is the kind of founder of that, Sherry Ann Waddell. She's the author of Intentional Discipleship, and she puts together a great workshop for discerning your gifts. And she basically took the Protestant inventory, spiritual gifts inventory, and she Catholicized it. And this is something, trailblazing for the church. The church has defined the roles of the priesthood and the diaconate, and for thousands of years have been defining and redefining and evolving and understanding. But the laity, and very much in the last 100 years, the church has really began to look at the laity, and certainly Vatican II, really unpacking the role of the laity. As Lumen Gentium, coming out of Vatican II, says, it's the role of the laity to evangelize. And so we have the office to evangelize. And we have this office that we're given as a laity, and we have authority as laity, and we have jurisdiction as a laity to evangelize and to minister and to be Christ to everyone we meet. And so we're going to talk about that today, and how, and that's why the Lord gives us charisms and gifts so that we can do these things and fulfill this office, as Sherry talks about in the Called and Gifted Workshop. But before we do that, let me just give you an update on the upcoming Into the Wild. We have the local one here at Hickory Run State Park, and that's in the Poconos. Father Jim Torpy, our wonderful chaplain, will be there again, comes out of the Allentown Diocese. This actual program is in the Allentown Diocese. It's on the border of Scranton Diocese, but it's still the Allentown Diocese, and it's at Hickory Run State Park, and it's August 4th through the 7th, and I share this with you, our listening audience, because it's a great local experience. If there's people listening today that would like a good father-son retreat, this is the one for you. If you want to, if you're a single man or you have a husband who's struggling and would just want to, you want as his wife to help him reconnect with God, this might be a good way to do it. So check it out at intothewildweekend.com if you'd like to learn more, dear listener. And if you'd like to register, you can certainly do it there as well. There's a video on that site, which we did about 5 years ago, which gives you a good flavor for what we're all about at the Into the Wild program and the Kingsmen. And then there's also some testimonials on that site. You can see what other men have said have come. And that's very interesting to look at as well. So take some time and do a little research. But we have registration open, and we certainly desire for anyone who wants to be there to come. Like, we accept young men ages 11 and up. Anyone under the age of 18 needs to be with a guardian, so we can't take young men without a guardian. And then we have men all the way up into their 80s that have come. And typically we get, we've been averaging about 70 guys. In the early days, we used to get about 90 to 100 guys, but we're about averaging about 70 guys now. And we certainly have room in Hickory Run State Park for more than that. We'd love to have you consider that, prayerfully consider that, discern that for yourself, as we're going to be talking about discernment today. But that's Hickory Run State Park, Into the Wild, August 4th through the 7th. Would love for you to come. If you're a father, if you're a husband, or you're a man listening to this program, and you just want to reconnect with God, well, we go to the mountain in the Poconos to meet Jesus, and through the Brotherhood, guys have amazing experiences at Into the Wild, transformative. They never look back, some of them, and some of them, you know, they chant, their lives have changed, and they're constantly converting and reverting, and you know, they have a great experience to help propel them through a tough time in their life. And they might fall back and they might struggle again, but that's to be expected in the spiritual walk. But these men have come, and we have men that continually return, because it's a great opportunity for them to stay connected with the Lord, but also to come back and to serve. So we have hundreds of guys that have, through the last 7 years now that we've been offering this program, have come back to serve. So they attended their first retreat, and then they wanted to come back and be a part of it. But on the other side, on the servant side, on the Christ side, if you will, I did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. So they want to be Christ on the weekend where they were touched so much themselves and received such consolations in their life. A little bit about the weekend. It's outdoor experiential, so it is at a state park, and it's a camping experience. We have rugged cabins, rustic cabins, if you will, and then we have an executive chef with us. So even though we're going to be sleeping less than a five-star resort, we will have five-star food, I can assure you that. So again, check that out at intothewildweekend.com. Also, in 2 weeks, we'll have our next healing retreat, and we're starting to fill up for that, which is pretty good. Praise God. We picked up a few guys this week, but we have room for more. And this is a much smaller retreat. We take about 20 to 25 guys, and we'll have about 20 again this year. But we have room if you'd like to come and experience God's healing through the sacramental life of the church. And it's a different program than Into the Wild. You can check more out at SamsonRetreat.com. That's the name of the retreat, Samson. And we have two major themes. I've talked about this before on the show. The man Samson, the book of Judges, chapters 13 to 16, and the theology of the cross. And so we really enter into our pain, our past pain, our present pain, and we try to understand where Christ is in the midst of all that, and how we can carry our cross, and how we can become more like Christ in the midst of our struggles. And certainly it's an invitation, not only today on the airwaves, but an invitation anytime we suffer to grow closer to Christ. And so the Samson Healing Retreat is there for all the men that have come to the King's Men to really take a deeper look at why they might be struggling. So if you're someone in the audience today that is struggling with a habitual sin or struggling with just life and seems to be spinning your wheels, if you will, this is a good place to come to figure out why potentially these things are happening. And it's not necessarily going to give you all your answers, but you might get some answers, and you certainly will feel the consoling, healing love of Christ on this weekend, but you're going to have brothers on this weekend. I think this is what the King's Men prides themselves on. I know it's what I pride this apostolate on, is the brotherhood, the men that love the other men that come, genuinely love them. It's a brotherly love. It's this father-son type love. It's really amazing. It's hard to put words to, but it happens, and it happens every retreat experience where men come and empty themselves and really, again, try to serve one another and love one another. And they use their gifts and their charisms to minister, to listen, to be brother. And it's amazing what happens when we all cooperate with God's grace, when we're all mission-focused and aligned in that mission to help one another. Amazing things happen. Miraculous things happen. And at the Samson Weekend at Discovery House in Hamilton, New Jersey, which is where we have it, about an hour and a half from Quakertown, where I live, about an hour from the Doylestown area, and about 45 minutes from Philly, that is a place where you can go. It's real close. So go to samsonretreat.com. Again, we have financial aid. We always have aid to help people who want to be there. So let's never let money be an issue. So those retreats are there for you to discern. And finally, the Judith Retreat, I was sharing this with Dale, just gave him a brochure here at the studio. The Judith Retreat is coming up soon. It's going to be here before we know it, October 20th to the 23rd at the beautiful Fatima House in Ottsville, PA, not too far from the studios here. And we are going to have our first healing retreat for women. And I've talked about this on the radio station before. We have a great dynamic leader team. Dr. Monica Bro, Lydia Britton, Sue Brinkman are going to be our facilitators. And we got about room for six more ladies. We got women flying in from all around the country. And there's room for six more. So you can check that out at judithretreat.com. Learn more about it. Very similar to Samson, but it's the sister program of the Samson program. Similar kind of program in the sense of themes. We have not the theology of the cross, but we have the seven sorrows of Mary, and not Samson, but we have the story of Judith in the Old Testament. So wonderful things to learn about and certainly meditate on and pray on. So judithretreat.com would be the place to go. And again, we always have financial aid if you're interested, but another local opportunity. So we get these three local retreats, and then we have other ones nationally. And if you're just tuning in and you don't know what this program's about, this is the Kingsmen Radio program here at Holy Spirit Radio at 1570 AM here in Doylestown and 1420 in Coatesville, Chester County. And we're just talking about some of the programs the Kingsmen are offering. If you don't know what the Kingsmen are all about, we are a lay apostolic movement here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and you can learn more at thekingsmen.org. So we're going to go to our first break soon, and then we're going to dive into the spiritual gifts inventory, which Sherry Waddell designed through the St. Catherine of Siena Institute in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And we're going to dive into the Called and Gifted program. How do we discern and understand our gifts, discover our call? What does that look like? I got a bit of a workshop for you today, a teaser, and I hope you stay tuned, because this program is going to introduce you to these concepts, the signs of a charism, the characteristics of a charism, and what does that look like? What is a charism, and why has God given us these things? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We'll dive more deeply into that.
Living Every Day with Passion and Purpose Live is an extraordinary event in just one evening that will help you see your life, your relationships, your faith, and the world in a whole new way. And it's coming to Bucks County. Join internationally acclaimed speaker and New York Times bestselling author Matthew Kelly and award-winning singer-songwriter Elliot Morris at St. John the Evangelist Church in Morrisville on Friday evening, September 16th. Living Every Day with Passion and Purpose Live has already been a life-changing event for tens of thousands of people. So we urge you not to miss this opportunity to learn and understand God's plan for your life. For more information or to buy tickets online, visit dynamiccatholic.com/Morrisville. Or you can purchase tickets in person at St. John the Evangelist Parish Office at 752 Big Oak Road in Morrisville. This will be a sold-out event, so get your tickets now. Does your marriage need a tune-up? Give each other a weekend away to reconnect. Rediscover the romance in your marriage as you improve communication and get to know each other at a deeper level. What you learn on a Marriage Encounter Weekend offers positive and lasting benefits for your family. The next weekend in this area is July 8th through the 10th at Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown. Early registration is highly recommended, and for more information, you can visit the website at wwme-philly.org.
This is Holy Spirit Radio.
Jesus stands at your door and knocks, and then enters your heart when invited.
Proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
All right, welcome back. Microphone is in hand. All is well. Talking about the spiritual gifts inventory, I am Mark Houck, your host here at the Kingsman Radio Program, Holy Spirit Radio, and we're going to be diving into what are our spiritual charisms. This is something that Kingsmen have done with our board of directors, our spouses, our staff over the years, and I thought this might be a nice opportunity to share it with you. A little bit about the inventory, what it's done in my life, but also what it's been, what it means, what it's for. Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Are you wandering throughout the world with all these gifts and not actualizing them? I think there's a lot of Catholics that are doing that, that have gifts, that are using them, don't even realize they're using them, and probably could be using them greater to the good of the church, for the good of the church, in greater capacities if they fully were aware of it. So let this be an introduction today to the possibility that you may have gifts, brother and sister in Christ, that you're not aware of, that God wants you to use, because he gives us these charisms for a purpose. And dare I say, there would be accountability on your judgment day if God has given you a gift and you have failed to use it. All right, you have failed to realize it and actualize and live it and share it, because these are all gifts, and God doesn't give a gift without an intended purpose. It's not just there for us to enjoy for ourselves. Now, we have natural talents. That's different. Natural talents are different than gifts. I'll distinguish them as we go through here a little bit, but you always can use your natural talents. They are not dependent upon your relationship with God. Whereas these gifts are dependent upon grace, and talents are retained regardless of one's relationship with God. So you could be an excellent musician or an excellent athlete, okay, and you've been given these natural talents. Your relationship with God doesn't take that away, or it could enhance it, of course. It could certainly add more glory to God if you understand that God has given you those talents. But at the same time, if you dismiss a relationship with God, you still have the talent. I guess we can see that with plenty of professional athletes today that are godless, but do great things in the sense of the, you know, temporal world, the sports world, whatever. But let's talk about the these spiritual charisms. Let's talk about the new evangelization for just a minute. So as John Paul II summoned forth a new evangelization in his pontificate, it's important to know that the discovery of these spiritual charisms are really part of this new evangelization. But before we dive into the new evangelization, we must define what is the old evangelization. Do you know what the old evangelization is? When Father Charles Locke asked that of me, I really couldn't answer that question. I kind of was, just kind of a deer in headlights. I didn't know what to say. What is the old evangelization? In fact, what is the new evangelization? I don't think I could articulate it. Well, he summarized it and simplified. He said, Mark, the Kingsman apostolate, Holy Spirit radio apostolate, is the new evangelization, okay, the new springtime. This is what we're talking about with the new evangelization. These wonderful gifts, these charisms of the lady that are springing forth to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the Great Commission, make disciples of all men, go into all nations and make disciples of all men. Well, that was the old evangelization where nuns and missionaries and brothers and ordained religious would take the gospel into places where there was no gospel, to pagan lands, and they would share the good news of Jesus Christ. That was the old evangelization. That was Paul going to all the places he went. That was all the apostles traveling to wherever they went, Thomas to India, all of the apostles, James to Spain. That's the old evangelization. And it was kind of relegated, I would say, in people's mind to just clergy to do that, religious. No, it wasn't. There are many missionaries that went out that were not clergy. But today in the new evangelization, it is about the laity. It is about the laity becoming those missionaries and doing it in our neighborhoods, not just in Calcutta or Ethiopia or places where, traditionally missionaries will go. This is about seeing the mission field in your backyard, in your home, in your community, in the church where you find yourself. That's why the King's Men serve primarily the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We do serve other dioceses, but we serve here first. This is our mission territory. And so certainly Holy Spirit Radio has a mission, and we're serving the Delaware Valley here through these wonderful stations, and we were able to cast the nets here locally, and that's why we have local programs. That's why the King's Men has been a part of this. This is our 10th year. Actually, this month marks our 10th year at Holy Spirit Radio doing this program. Praise God. What a gift that has been to our apostolate. I've often told Dale and Jane Meyer here that the radio has really enabled us to do things that we can never do. We would never have been able to do it without it. With the podcasting capability, and people have been able to hear about the Kingsman all over the world through the internet and the podcasts and all the wonderful programming that we've been able to do. People listen to this program. They actually listen to my voice. I can't believe it. That's very humbling. I'm glad I have a face for radio. But the reality is that is the new evangelization. The new evangelization is about the laity being involved in the spreading of the gospel message, that springtime that John Paul II prophesied about. And so what do we have as our tools for this work? Our charisms, all right? You have these charisms that you've been given, that each and every one of us, I don't care who you are, it's not about intelligence. God doesn't bestow charisms on people who are smart or gifted athletically, or just those that are superior in those arenas musically. He gives us all gifts, and all of us have them. And some of us desire certain gifts, but they may not be the gifts that God has given you. We're going to dive into what are these gifts. There's a lot of them. I think there's 27 of them. And we want to talk about charism. We want to discuss what does that mean. That this workshop that Sherry Waddell put together, this comes out of the St. Catherine of Siena Institute in Colorado Springs. It's got a Dominican spirituality, and so it's very much something that you can trust as true, good, and beautiful. Not something that is of any new age or anything like that. This is tried and true spirituality. God is at work in creation now, and he's healing and restoring all things, and he has chosen us, the laity, to carry out this work through our free assent and cooperation, and that's men and women alike, and we have to discern these gifts. And so Sherry designed a spiritual gifts inventory for us to kind of get in touch, to see what our aptitude is for these gifts. Now, as you take this inventory, and I'll talk about it, it's not like some Catholic Myers-Briggs test where you take that Myers-Briggs test and you find out your personality's sanguine, choleric, melancholic, or whatever. Not that. This isn't what this is. So when you take the inventory, it just shows you your aptitude, like where you may have a gift. Your job at that point is to discern, do you have the gift? And we'll talk about how you properly discern that. You focus on these special areas to determine how God is using you as an instrument. So if you take this test, you see, okay, I got these seven key areas or six key areas, and you focus on them a little bit more to see if God is using as an instrument of his peace, love, and providence for others. Then you take action in this area, and you watch for the confirming results. So let's talk about those gifts. Let's name them for you and what possibly you could be discovering for yourself that are, just available to you. Knowledge is one of them, but just the knowledge of these charisms can be life-changing. All right, one of the first charisms is administration. Now that sounds like a bean counter or somebody who's behind the scenes, and I guess to a degree there's truth to some of that, but administration is a gift. Not everybody has the gift of administration. I certainly don't have the gift of administration, but it is a gift. Passion for making good things happen for the kingdom of God provides the planning and coordination needed to accomplish these good things. It takes a gift to be able to accomplish those things spiritually. Now, think of this is not, you may have the gift administratively in corporate setting, but the gift spiritually speaking, are you applying your administrative gifts for a spiritual good? Again, the gift of administration that is a charism is always meant to be used in a spiritual sense, not in a secular sense, not for your own selfish gain or worldly gain or for temporal goods. It's for the bringing others to Jesus, okay? Serving others. So when you have the gift of administration, you just say, okay, all right, I have the gift of administration. I just found that out through the spiritual gifts inventory. Let me make sure I get myself in a career job that uses my administrative gifts. The true and not true, right? Yes, of course, you want to do things that are aligned with your gifts, but you want to make sure you're using that gift in the spiritual sense, okay, when you're thinking of it through the terms of charism. All right, hopefully that's clear. Then there's celibacy. That's a gift. Did you know that was a gift? It's not just something that comes like on a sacramental dust when someone's ordained. It's actually a gift that God gives. Most fulfilled and spiritually fruitful by remaining unmarried and celibate for the sake of Christ. Now, not everybody that is celibate is a priest, okay? All everybody that's single is celibate. Okay, people hear the word chastity when I would give chastity talks, and they say, isn't that just for a priest? Well, they were always confusing chastity with celibacy. Chastity is for everyone, married, single, religious, everyone practices chastity. What is that? Sexual self-control. Everyone must practice chastity. And married people do it, single people do it, religious do it, all do it. But celibacy are for the single, those that are not married. The unmarried, and of course, the clergy is included in that. But this gives one the freedom to give oneself entirely to the call of God. As Paul would say, to be single-hearted. Blessed are the single-hearted, for they will see the face of God. So Paul talks about how when you're married, although a wonderful call, wonderful vocation, certainly a path to holiness, that there's a double-mindedness there. A man has to be concerned in matters of his spouse and of course, God. But the single-hearted, those that are single, can be focused entirely to a call of God. Another gift is craftsmanship. Again, charism. Are you using your gift of craftsmanship to bring others closer to Christ? This is an inspired, artistic, or creative work that beautifies and or orders the physical world. Again, you have a passion for creating things of physical beauty to bring joy to others and glory to God. You may have the gift of charism. The gift of craftsmanship, which is a charism. Okay, discernment of spirits is another gift. Do you have an accurate perception of divine or demonic presence in certain people, places, or things? I've met people with this gift. They can sense the presence of evil. John Vianney could smell evil, the stench of sin. He would smell it. Certain priests have this charism. Discernment of spirits. I do not have this charism, but I believe my wife does. She took the test and the inventory and discern that this is possibly one of her gifts. So a lot of people have discernment of spirits, a very rare gift, but a very good gift to have, awareness of spiritual realities that nourish or hinder the freedom of people and the work of the church. Again, this is always at the service of the church. Right? If you have the gift of discerning of spirits, you're not going to sell your services to discern spirits for people. That would be probably an abuse of the gift, right? So we're using it to bring others closer to Christ. So someone who may have discernment of spirits may be involved in deliverance ministry. Wonderful deliverance ministry that is being done by Neil Lozano, Unbound. Wonderful program. Been a part of some of their workshops. I'm sure that some of those people involved in that have discernment of spirits gifts. Another gift is the gift of encouragement. And this is the nurturing and fostering others through the presence of words, comfort, encouragement, and counsel. This is a spiritual direction gift, helping individuals grow closer to God and become fully themselves. So, for instance, if you're with somebody and they constantly like to talk to you, or they always want to talk to you, especially when they're in times of crisis, you may have the gift of encouragement and counsel there. Again, this is to be used to serve others, to bring others to Christ. And so see that in yourself. This is you, brother or sister in Christ, that are listening today. You say, wow, yeah, people tell me I always feel better when they talk to me. You may have the gift of encouragement. Wouldn't that be positive for you to learn and discover for yourself so that you can now put that to use in the church? That's what we need. We need more people using their gifts. The problem is we have more people in this church serving themselves than serving others. And that's the church, the universal church, okay? This is not just, St. Isidore's or St. Agnes. All of us, the body of Christ, we need to use our gifts. And most of us, I would say most of us, these gifts remain dormant in our lives. So today we're trying to wake up those gifts and stir them up in ourselves and really investigate what that looks like through the spiritual gifts inventory and the Called and Gifted program that Sherry Waddell developed at the St. Catherine of Siena Institute in Colorado Springs. If you're just tuning in, I'm Mark Houck. This is the Kingsman Radio Program. We're talking about our spiritual gifts and charisms today, and we're just going through some of the 27 gifts. What they are that we would be figuring out for ourselves. Evangelism. You share the faith in a way that draws others to become Jesus' disciples. So I would say people that are good preachers, people that can get up there and give a talk on a certain topic and inspire other people, and through their words and the way they articulate themselves, they're able to draw people closer to Christ. This is a very important gift that every person truly encounters Jesus in his church and becomes a disciple. There's this passion there. You may have the gift of evangelism. We're all called to evangelize, but the evangelism gift, not everyone's called to be a public preacher, okay? So as you think of these spiritual gifts, you may say, oh, I'd like to be a speaker, but if you don't have the gift, you may not have necessarily the return on your time that someone would have who has the gift of evangelism. In other words, not that you can't speak or you shouldn't speak, but maybe you're not doing it as full time as someone who has that gift. Does that make sense? Okay, hopefully don't offend anybody there. Because what Sherry warns us is that when you look at these spiritual gifts and you see the 27 gifts and you say to yourself, boy, I'd really like to have, I would like to have that gift. But when you find out that God hasn't given you that gift, you know, some of us can will ourselves to have a gift. But if it's not truly a gift from God, then there's gonna be no fruit there. The graces are not gonna be flowing through it. So you have to kind of have this gift of surrender, or this attitude of surrender, I should say, that says, okay, whatever my gifts are, I'm gonna be happiest using them. And it may not be what I want, but it may be, and I know it will be, for the best, because God knows how I am best to use my gifts and how I can best use my gifts, how I can best lead others and myself to happiness and holiness. And he knows better than we do. So these gifts are here for us to accept, not to direct, if that makes sense. All right. Faith. This is a wonderful charism, exceptional trust in the love, power, and provision of God, and remarkable freedom to act on this trust. In other words, you've abandoned everything you've left everything to serve God, and you have this faith that says, you know what, God will provide. And not everybody has that. And again, we all have faith in the sense of I believe, but this is a supernatural faith. This is a charism of faith which enables you to really step away in a way that others would not. To abandon what worldly common sense would say and to really surrender in that spirit of Matthew 6, that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be given to you besides. So don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. All this the pagans seek. You, my friend, seek first the kingdom of God. This is that supernatural gift of faith where, like, you leave everything. You know, Francis of Assisi abandons everything and just steps out naked to go and do the work of God. Certainly he had the charism of faith. Okay. Then we have the gift of giving. Giving with exceptional generosity to those in need. Now, this is different than just being charitable. Okay, there's a lot of people who are very charitable, a lot of people who have a lot of money to give away. They don't necessarily may not have the gift of giving. How do you determine and distinguish the two? The first is, well, you have a passion for providing the financial material resources that make good things happen. In other words, it brings you great joy when you give some of your material possessions and wealth to others that benefits them and ultimately brings them to a greater closeness to Jesus and Christ. So you have to take great joy in seeing your wealth and your gifts financially go to the blessing of the church and to others. See, there's a difference there. Some people just give for the tax deduction or give because, well, Uncle Sam's going to come after it if I don't give it. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of different reasons for giving. And as Paul talks about, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. This is someone with the gift of giving. Okay. The gift of healing, a very rare gift. My mother-in-law actually has the gift of healing. I know this because she's been doing healing ministry for 30, 40 years now. Kathleen McCarthy, some of you may know her. She uses her gift to cure illness, restore health, where healing is unlikely to happen quickly or at all. So God uses her as an instrument when she lays her hands on someone to bring about healing. Does it always happen? No, of course not. But there are people with that gift, and I know she has it because she's prayed over people that I know that have gotten better and people that were literally on their deathbed and have gotten better, and God has used her as his instrument, his agent. So they have a passion for those who are ill, that they may encounter the love of Christ through the healing gift that they've been given and be cured. So Kathleen will drive all over the place to pray with people, and it's a rare gift, but it's out there, and it could be one of your gifts, brother and sister in Christ. Are you discerning it? Again, the way we discern we'll get into in this program today, but it's not just to discover by an inventory, do you have the aptitude, but it's are you exercising it? Are you using it, and is it being confirmed by others? That is the key. Is it being confirmed by others? If it's not being confirmed by others, pretty safe to assume you don't have it. Pretty safe to assume that. Okay, then there's the gift of hospitality, warmly welcoming and caring for those in need of food, shelter, and friendship. You have a passion for nurturing others by making a welcoming place for them. This isn't just someone who's polite or has good manners. This is someone who really takes great joy and consolation in preparing a place for others to rest their head or rest their body or get restored. You know, physically, emotionally, they have a passion for providing for those who need that refreshment. That is a charism, and it would bring others to Christ through that hospitality. Again, you're not just someone who's got the gift of polite manners and can make people feel good about themselves and starts a bed and breakfast and says, okay, I'm going to make profit off this. No, the gifts are not given for profit purposes. The gifts are given always to be service at the service of others and for the good of the church. Okay, you might have the gift of hospitality. Another gift, the gift of intercessory prayer. Does your prayer for others enable God's love and deliverance to reach them in specific, remarkable ways? In other words, if you've asked somebody to pray for you, and we always do, you say, please pray for me, I'm going through a tough time right now. And perhaps when you ask this particular person or these particular people to pray for you, you find great consolation very immediately, very much instantly, when you've asked people who have that gift of intercessory prayer, that God's will be done and God's love and provision reach those in need. So this is the passion of that person. I want to pray for you. It's like these religious orders that all their vocation is just prayer. Or, you know, for instance, the Pink Sisters, the Convent of Divine Love, all they do is pray before. I mean, primarily what they do is pray before the Blessed Sacrament. That's their charism. That's their mission at that religious life. I would imagine the majority of those women, maybe not all of them, but the majority of those women have the gift of intercessory prayer. Why? That's what they spend the majority of their time doing. And people call, and I call down the Pink Sisters. I called down earlier this year, and I said, hey, we got 10 retreats this year. Please pray for us. Will you pray for all the men and for all the staff and for all the needs that we'll have and that God will provide and all these things? And they said, sure, we'd be happy to pray for you. It brings some great joy. It's not like a burden, like, okay, add it to the list, okay, you know, and just someone with the gift of intercessory prayer is not going to be burdened by you asking them to pray for them. I don't have the gift of intercessory prayer. I probably would be burdened by you asking me to pray for you because I can have a hard enough time praying for myself. But no, certainly we can all pray for one another, and we all should pray for one another. But some of us have a special charism for that work. Okay, as I talked about knowledge, again, knowledge, generally speaking, of these gifts, and certainly we have knowledge and wisdom and courage, fortitude, piety, you know, things that are bestowed, these gifts at our confirmation, confirmed, gifts from baptism. But this is a knowledge that is about something more than that. It's an empowered study and intellectual activity resulting in new or clearer understanding of God, people, and the universe. This person has a passion for seeing, understanding, and contemplating what is true. This doesn't mean that they're okay, I have the gift of knowledge, therefore I must become a professor at a seminary. Maybe, but that might be more using it like a headhunting kind of thing. You want to look at knowledge as continual pursuit of the truth, and that is in our study, in our reading, and what you're constantly seeking. Deeper knowledge of what is true, a deeper awareness of self, a deeper knowledge of ourselves. And certainly, but there's a degree of understanding, you know, books, and there's an element of that. But it's not like, oh, I've read all these things, therefore I have the gift of knowledge. No, you have a passion for discovery of these things. And you have a passion for sharing what is true, good and beautiful. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that you're always seeking these things out to right all the wrong that is out there knowledge wise. That would not be it. But as people encounter you in a spiritual sense and they're misguided, there might be this sharing of knowledge that is always going to be elevating and lifting people, building them up. You see, that's the gift of knowledge. And there's the gift of leadership, sharing a compelling vision with others that draws them to work together to make the vision a reality. You have a passion for changing things for the better through group vision and mission. So I would say, like a lay apostle, like the King's Men or a Holy Spirit Radio, that there's a group vision there, that it's just not left for self, right? And so God doesn't give gifts anything just for self. It's always meant to be shared. And so there's a leadership capability that's there that needs to be given, right, for someone who would be leading that charge. So do you find yourself in that position? Not every pastor has the gift of leadership. They might have the gift of pastoring. They may not have, they won't get into what that is, but they may not have the gift of leadership. They need to surround themselves with people who can fulfill leadership responsibilities within the parish life. Okay, others are called, and there's a gift for missionary work, missionary gift, effectively and joyfully using your talents and charisms in a second culture. So you might feel called to go to Honduras or Jamaica or third world countries, Ethiopia, Sudan, Venezuela, Colombia. Father Van Hager is a missionary, and there's a missionary work that's based out of Jersey locally here, the Consolata Missionaries. And so he joined over 50 years ago to be a part of that missionary work because he has the gift of missionary or the charism of being a missionary. And he loves to use his talents and charisms in a second culture, you know, places like a third world. That's a charism. You can be a channel of God's love and provision among people of a culture other than your own, yeah, right? I mean, you may have a missionary zeal in the sense of, I need to go and help, but, you know, you may not be called to be a missionary because missionaries go and actually live with these people. You may want to go visit or spend a week, maybe after like a hurricane, and there might be that missionary zeal to go help, but you ultimately return to your life. But there's those that continually return to the missions that are there for years at a time. Father Van will be in Colombia for 3 years before he comes back for 3 months of vacation. That's kind of how the deal. 3 years of mission, 3 months of vacation. For every year, you get a month. So there's a difference there. Hopefully you can see that. There's a gift of music. Do you write or perform music for the delight of others and the praise of God? I think there's a lot of composers of music that write for that reason. And certainly Christian musicians are probably exercising that. I think of a guy like Matt Maher. I think he writes and performs music for the delight of others and the praise of God. And he expresses his human experience. And he celebrates the creation of God's majesty with beautiful sound. Certainly does he do that. Creating and performing beautiful music is a way to nourish and delight others and to praise God. There's this wonderful guy who's passed away. His name was Keith Green. And I know this man, when you hear him sing, and he's kind of like a Christian Elton John, like he would sing and play piano at the same time, Billy Joel, if you think of it in a secular sense. And he just delighted in the words and the music and the bringing people to Christ. And, oh, boy, Keith Green had the gift of music. If you've ever heard any of his songs, you know who I'm talking about. You know that it's expressed deeply in his exercising of that gift. This one gift that I'm going to talk to about next that I mentioned earlier is pastoring, building Christian community by nurturing the relationships and long-term spiritual growth of a group. Building Christian community by nurturing the relationships and long-term spiritual growth of a group. That would be great for a pastor to have. But again, not every pastor, priest in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia has the gift of pastoring. Hopefully most of them do. But again, there's some that don't. And you're like, why is that pastor so irritable all the time? Well, maybe he doesn't have the gift of pastoring. I don't know. But the person who has the gift of pastoring has a nurturing, a desire to nurture the spiritual growth and interrelationships of the Christian community. He wants people to all grow together, and he doesn't want to leave any man behind, to borrow that cliche. Right? There's a nurturing element of that, a fathering element. I think fathers and mothers would get this, right? And we're all called to be a father, mother, whether spiritually or biologically, but there's this desire to nurture the growth of others. And it's always for the service of bringing others closer to Christ. And that's the gift of pastoring. Then there's the gift of service, seeing obstacles that keep good things from happening and doing whatever it takes myself to remove them. So I show my love by service. That doesn't necessarily mean I have the gift of service, right? I like to serve people, but those that have the gift, the charism, would bring it to the spiritual sense. And there would always be bringing that to bear when there's an obstacle preventing others from moving into relationship with Christ. They have a passion for doing whatever it takes to make good things happen. Gift of service, charism of service. There's a gift of teaching, enabling others to learn information and skills that help them reach their full spiritual and personal potential. Now, not every teacher has the charism of teaching. Okay, remember, the difference between a charism and a natural talent. Natural talents don't need God. All right, even though they're from God, you can still exercise a natural talent if you'd say, I'm not interested in God. You follow me? So certainly those that are teachers and have God in their life are going to certainly glorify God, and there's probably going to be greater graces flowing through that vocation. But the charism piece, there's a passion for changing people's lives by teaching them new information or skills. So that wouldn't be, that would be certainly involved in a missionary. I'm sure there'd be some element of teaching there, but think of the spiritual element, like, you know, people involved with RCIA, people that are teaching potential converts, new converts about the faith. Apologetics. Apologists would probably have the gift of teaching. Catechists would certainly have the gift of teaching. And that would be important to know about yourself. You're going to get involved in catechetical instruction. You probably should see, do I have this gift? And if you do, a good place to be for you, brother. Good place to be for you, sister, for sure. And then there's voluntary poverty. Now, this is a very rare one. A lifestyle of cheerful, voluntary poverty or simplicity in order to identify with Jesus and the poor. Not everyone's called to be in solidarity with the poor. Mother Teresa was called to be in solidarity with the poor. Okay? But not all of us are called to live a life of poverty. There's this passion to be free, to identify with Jesus and the poor. There's this wonderful little program that's Christian-based called the Synergy Project, and it's in the Bucks County, Lehigh Valley area. It's called the Synergy Project. And these folks are in solidarity with homeless kids on the streets. Okay, they have the gift of voluntary poverty. They literally live in solidarity with those that are on the streets. Now they go and they provide material things for them to help them find homes where they can find shelter and just so that they're not alone. And again, they have a passion to freeing themselves from worldly possessions and desires and to really be in solidarity with the poor and see Jesus in the face of those that they encounter. We're running to the end here. I want to just finish up. So we have the gift of writing. Uses words to create words of truth or beauty that reflect human experience and bring glory to God. So you convey truth and create beauty through your words. So that doesn't mean you're just a great blogger, but are you blogging for Christ or are you writing for Christ? You may have that charism. And so you need to think about these things, and I invite you to learn more at this, St. Catherine of Siena Institute. There's a couple ways to determine if you have a charism. I'll share this with you. I think there's three ways. I'm going to skip through my book here. Three signs of a charism. This is one of the three ways you know you have a charism. One, you have an unmistakable inner experience of peace, energy, and joy when you're using the gift. An unmistakable inner experience of peace, energy, and joy when you're using the gift. Unusually effective, too. This is the second one. Unusually effective and successful results in what you're trying to accomplish. Again, as you're exercising this charism, you're seeing this unmistakable inner experience, peace, joy, energy, and then this unusual effectiveness and successful results. And then three, other people's direct or indirect recognition of the gift's presence. So they tell you, I see this in you. Do you know you have this? They tell you if you have the gift. Now, remember, a charism is truly a gift. It can only be received, and it's never achieved. Again, you can't say, I want to be a great Catholic evangelist, and you don't have the gift of evangelism. Well, you're probably not going to achieve greatness in that area. You may become a very effective communicator. But remember, those with the gift will probably receive the greatness in the world sense because it's a gift from God. This fact can be one of the hardest things to swallow about the spiritual gifts, Sherry Waddell tells us. The fact that they are gifts, it means two things. We can't buy them, and if we refuse to accept them, they remain unopened. And she says, the danger lies in fixating on what we want. If you're like most of us, you're starting the discernment process, you have an eye on that one gift that you think, I want to have the gift of prophecy. We didn't talk about that one, but that's another gift of prophecy. God gives you words and God gives you thoughts that become true in people's lives, not necessarily at the moment that you speak them, but there becomes this prophetic word, this prophetic wisdom that is shared that helps people, consoles people, and spurs them on through a difficult time in their life. So I invite you to explore the inventory and see that for yourself and discover the six or seven gifts that might be yours. And examine them, evaluate them, weigh them based upon the response of others, and start to discern for yourselves. Now remember, as we talked about in the beginning, that the laity have an office, that they're given authority by Christ to exercise that office of evangelization and new evangelization. And they're given jurisdiction. So, which means they have the ability to communicate to those that they encounter
you know, the love of Christ, and they're given that authority, and they have the jurisdiction. And this is only understood properly in the context of charisms, because you exercise these charisms in the lives of these people, and you see change, sometimes instant change, but you see transformation. And it's the called and gifted program, and we're all called and we're all gifted. The problem is most of us don't realize this stuff. These gifts remain dormant in our lives. Sherry tells us we should be investing at least 2 hours a week deliberately experimenting with the charism. Oh my, that is convicting. Are you spending at least 2 hours a week experimenting with a charism that you're trying to discern? I'm not doing that. I need to do it. I need to do it more. And so as the great televangelists, you know, they always preach so heavily about the things that they need for themselves. You think of Jimmy Swaggart, you think of Jim Baker, and some of these guys that fell from grace, if you will, but they were very staunch about some of the things that they ended up falling with. And what does that tell us is that they knew what they were talking about because they struggled with what they were talking about. And sometimes we're most passionate about things that we struggle the most with. We're very intimately involved in it, and we have knowledge of it, and we know the great depth of the pain associated with it. And so sometimes we preach most effectively against it. And so here we are today talking about the charisms, and I'm convicting myself about the things that I still need to do about my own charisms. So we are all a work in progress. We move forward, and we continue on the journey. So always forward, as Saint Junipero Serra would say, newly canonized saint in the church, always forward, brothers and sisters in Christ, always forward, never looking back. The work of Christ, you put your hand to the plow, as we heard in the gospel a couple of weeks ago, and you cannot look back. You need to focus, because that horse, that bull, that oxen is going to take you off track, right? If you got your hand on the plow, you're not focused, you're not staying, you're going to mess up the whole fertilization process. And so when you're following Christ, you need to not look back, always forward, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's been a pleasure being with you today. I wish you a blessed weekend. I hope you had a blessed 4th of July in celebration of our country's independence. We'll be back in 2 weeks for our next program. It's been Mark Howick for the Kingsman Radio Program. Thank you for listening. God bless you.